Good morning to you all. God's grace and love and blessings be with you. Kind of continuing with the gospel passage from Deacon Paul's words, where Jesus did this incredible miracle upon walking on the water. We know that Peter, after he was calmed down along with the other disciples in not seeing a ghost, but really realizing that it was Jesus walking on water, and when Jesus says, come, Peter gets out of the boat and starts to walk to him on water. Now, I've said this on a few occasions. If Peter lived contemporarily today and he played football, he would be a middle linebacker because he would get his nose right in there no matter what you're talking about. So Peter's the one out of the 12. If it's you, tell me to come, and he is willing to try to walk on water. So immediately as he gets on the water, he starts walking. But then what happens? When he's walking on the water, who is he focusing upon? Who? 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 He's focusing on Jesus. And then what happens? He looks around and he says, oh my God, what am I doing? Literally, oh my God, what am I doing? And he sees the waves and the wind, and immediately when he sees the waves and the wind, what happens? He sinks and yells out, Lord, save me. And of course, our sweet Lord Jesus picks him up out of the water and helps him back into the boat. We assume he's still on the water himself walking and helps him into the boat with a response, oh, you of little faith. I have been doing premarital counseling for couples getting ready for marriage for many years. And one of the sessions that I've done continually for the last many years is a session in which I ask them to write down their five top priorities in life, in order, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I'll say, write those down today individually, and what you anticipate them to be after you get married. So the top five most important aspects of your life, as you perceive them from your point of view today, and what you anticipate them to be after you get married. And of course, there's beautiful elements that they will put down. And invariably, most of them will put God or faith or religion in there. But it's not uncommon that God and faith and religion is not number one. And I tell them, as we go over the rest of this session, it is imperative. I said, of course, there's no wrong answers. But if we want to really be Christians, the number one focus in our life is God. And I don't say specifically, I say not religion, not faith, but our Lord. Because our Lord invites us into a personal relationship with Him. And then I go on and I give a couple of examples, one a little made-up example and another a very real-life example, in which, practically speaking, I try to portray that it makes sense to put God as number one in our life. And the essence of that statement is this. If we put anyone else, whether it is a spouse, a parent, a child, or anything else, success, our job, happiness, a lot of money, if we put anyone or anything else as number one in our lives, inasmuch as all others, people, as well as things, are not perfect, to one degree or another, we are setting ourselves up for disappointment. Does that make sense to you? If we put anyone or anything else in our life as number one, to one degree or another, we are setting ourselves up for disappointment because no one else or nothing else is perfect or eternal. but one, and that is our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. With that in mind, boys, altar boys, acolytes, Sophia, boys, would you make a circle? Kind of a good-sized circle. Bravo. Good job, guys. A little step, four steps backward from your circle. Sophia, you're God. And I chose you because of your name. Sophia, which means wisdom, which is one of the names of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom. Okay, so we're going to stand right there. Okay, guys, take one step towards God. Guys, take another step towards God. Guys, take one more step towards God, and then that will be close enough. What happens as each of you gets closer to God? What happens amongst yourselves? What? You get closer to one another. So as we get closer and closer to God, we get closer and closer to one another. Sophia, guys, thank you. You did marvelous. Can you go back to your seats now? As we get closer and closer to God, we get closer and closer to one another. Conversely, I don't know if you've noticed, but there are a lot of distractions in our lives. Has anybody recognized that? And as I mentioned in my last sermon, I think it was last week, as we get older, they don't seem to lessen. They seem to be greater rather than less. Right? There are so many things. I cannot even imagine what are my grandkids or and then maybe their children are going to grow up in with regards to the digital age, right? We probably can't even conceive what it's going to be like a generation or two from now. But in our day, we could not, I remember there were like five TV stations when I was a kid growing up. Is that right? And the news was on at, I don't even think it was in the morning, was it? Maybe, no, it was a 5 o'clock news and a 10 o'clock news at night. Now we have news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on many stations, correct? And stop and think, you're practically speaking, how do all those people make their money? By saying the same stories again and again with a different little spin here or a different little spin there depending upon the particular TV station. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I don't know about you, but I've been into homes where one of those stations is on about 24 hours a day, 7 days of the week. Or I have to confess that a lot of times when I'm driving, a lot of times I don't even turn on the radio or music. I just want to have quiet. But the times I turn on the radio, sometimes it's for music, and other times it is a sports talk show. And they're the same way. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio are sports talk shows. ESPN, ESPN The Ocho is on too. They are there and everything. There's so many distractions. So let me just reiterate. Let us focus on God first in our daily lives. It is not easy. There is nothing that is easy about this. But as Deacon Paul reminded us in today's gospel passage, our Lord got off by himself to pray. And because he had that connection with God the Father, of course he is God the Son. But because of him taking on flesh, he constantly had to work at, having the connection with God the Father in his full human form. He had to go off by himself to pray. And that was not, it was natural on the one hand in his divine nature, but very challenging in his human nature. And he did it and provides for us an example. This is the Lord's Day, Kyriaki, the day that the Lord has made, the first day of the week. And we worship on the first day of the week. And the intent of that is to put in motion the rest of our week, to begin our week with God, and to take that example daily to begin our day, our walk with God, with a short prayer, connecting with God, so that as we go into the distractions of life, and the way it works with me is as soon as I get out of bed, I start having distractions. That we begin our day with God. Not just Sunday, beginning the week, but every day begins. And let us try our very best to end our day with God, so that our primary focus and our end focus is upon our loving Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, to whatever degree we are able, because we are not going to be perfect in our faith, to whatever degree we are able, the winds, the waves, the distractions of life will bounce off of us to one degree or another as we maintain the proper course with the rudder focusing on our loving Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. By the power, through the prayers of the Virgin Mary, the Theotokos, and St. Catherine, the great martyr, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God the Father, and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.